Welcome to Comedians with Ghost Stories. I'm your host, writer and comedian Emily Winter. And if you were listening last week, you know I was freaking out about One-Liner Madness, the show that I host with 64 comedians going head-to-head in a single elimination joke tournament. And it was, I think, besides my own wedding, the best night of my life. So if you came and bought a ticket or recommended it to anyone, thank you so, so much. I had extremely high production costs because we did a videographer and a photographer and a band and a DJ, and we had to pay out the winners. And even after all of that, we still made $1,500 for Shelter Chic Animal Rescue. So it was such an incredible night. This amazing comic, Martin Urbano, won it. Follow him. He's so funny and wonderful. And yeah, if you do like live comedy and you're not just here for only the ghost stuff, the next One-Liner Madness show that I am throwing is in Los Angeles on Saturday, May 6th, and that'll be at Little Secret in Hollywood. I will post ticket links soon. And also, I have some shows coming up at Be Kind Video, a place where my husband, Chris Caligero, and I are producing a lot. Be Kind Video is in Burbank, and it's a super cool, new but vintage-inspired, throwbacky 80s, 90s video store, VHS store. So I love throwing shows there. We've got one April 11th where my friend Caitlin Palufo is headlining, and then we've got a showcase on April 13th. Anyway, I better start this ghost show because this is a great episode, so enjoy the podcast. Next show's Staff Picks Comedy at Be Kind Video, Tuesday, April 11th, Thursday, April 13th. Hope to see you there. All right, enjoy the show. Today on the podcast, I'm super excited to have comedian and Twitch streamer Vanessa Bryan. Vanessa, thank you for joining me.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to do this. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so pumped because what you can't see, listeners, is that Vanessa lives in an incredibly decorated horror room. And yes. It is awesome.
Yeah, don't think like Saw horror room, because that's it's not like that kind of horror room. There's not like someone like laying in the middle of the room. Usually it's me. But this time, no, it's all horror memorabilia, stuff like that. So big fan.
It's so cool. Amazing. So that brings me, and you're podcasting from Raleigh.
I am, Raleigh, North Carolina.
Very cool. So is that where your story takes place?
It is. Actually, it is. It is right in the heart of downtown Raleigh, North Carolina, which is quite known for having a little bit of paranormal activity.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yes.
I love it.
This one occurs during when I'm in college, and our college also, with it's a small all women's institution that was a Civil War hospital. So that lots and lots of cool stuff that would take place there. I say cool, other people would not say cool. It's neat. I think it's neat. I'm just like, bust out the Ouija board. Let's party.
So you lived in a place of tons of pain and agony. Cool, cool, cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. Love it. Really stoked for me. Sure, not real liked by everyone else at the time, but it was really cool. So yeah, Raleigh's just kind of a little bit, North Carolina in general is known to be have quite a few hot, haunted spots.
Why do you think that? Why do you think North Carolina is so haunted?
Usually states that have ports, like really well-known port cities. So like Wilmington, huge, huge amounts of paranormal stuff usually just because.
Why have I not known this? I've gone to Wilmington so many times.
Oh my gosh, you've never done the ghost tours? Of course, the ghost tours are corny, but there's a lot of really good information.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of good information. Yeah, but, Wilmington, North Carolina has one of the most haunted cemeteries there. It's which is really funny because it's in like the middle of Wilmington and like this little itty bitty church.
Mm-hmm.
And all around it, it's bustling. And here are me and my best friends again with a Ouija board, like on the sidewalk, trying to be like, no, this is supposed to be the most haunted. And everyone's like walking around this going, what are these crazy kids doing?
Right.
But yeah, you next time you go, you should check that out.
So
rad.
I've done the comedy festival there a couple times. I don't know if it still exists, but yeah, I think I'm just like, comedy, running around with people in it.
Absolutely.
And there's like a reptile museum, and there's been a lot of
things
that have taken my attention away from.
There's the
ghost.
weird, like, Curiosity and Oddities Museum there that is so weird. It's so silly. But yeah, lots of cool haunted stuff, lots of neat stuff like that. So you should definitely check it out next time.
Listeners, it's a fun town. So if you are ever around it, I recommend, even if the ghost tours
Absolutely.
are hokey.
Lots of history, lots of cool bars, lots of great restaurants. So yeah, here's my random plug for Wilmington, apparently. Yeah,
Me
let's
too.
all go
I
to
didn't come
Wilmington.
in here meaning to do that. And
All
also
right, that's my plug. Bye.
Dead Crow Comedy Club is a pretty cool club too. Yeah, I like it a lot. Anyway, so let's talk about Raleigh. Let's talk about your story. Back
Yes, my
to
story. Back to Raleigh. We are back from Wilmington. We've gone on a ghost tour and we're back to the
Raleigh.
ghosts in Raleigh. All right. So yeah, well, basically the story is about my ghost best friend and my yeah, and the pet store witch that eventually vanquished him.
Oh my
So
gosh.
this is during my like third junior year of college, and like my fifth girlfriend during like that college, I guess we could call it a career, even though it was more of a hobby. And it was her senior year. So, of course, naturally, like she didn't want to live in an apartment. She didn't want to live like on campus. So we did what most people would do that have no idea how money works. And we took our student loans and we rented a really cool house.
Oh
So
no.
right smack, like in downtown Raleigh. And it was so rad. And of course, thanks to gentrification and the little corner store that only sold craft beer, it was way too small and way too expensive.
Oh my
I mean,
gosh.
like seriously, it was like two shoe boxes and a bathroom. Like that was it. But the cool thing was it had an entire the whole like size of the regular floor, full basement and a finished attic. So
Oh.
right. So that was our selling point. For me, I'm like massive basement, cool, love it. Finished attic, absolutely. I'm basically sandwiching this house. I'm never in the middle. I'm top, I'm bottom.
Yeah. And
And
also, when you're in college, a basement is actually an asset. I feel like we're probably old enough where that's
absolutely.
not where we want to party, but when we're 20 or
That was
23,
the
like,
spot. Yeah, my girlfriend at the time, she was just like, well, this is clearly going to be like my craft haven. And I'm just like, are you kidding me? This is parties. And I'm going to put my sick drum kit in here. Are you kidding me? Like, I
literally,
was
I had a party basement in my junior year of college, and it had my drum set
at your drum set.
and kegs of beers that we hadn't returned.
Exactly.
I feel like we had the same experience.
Did you know my ghost best friend? Okay, so
Yeah.
yeah, we were so that this was our house. And naturally, like what's really funny is everyone would think that clearly like it's gonna be the basement. The only thing that haunted the basement were like camel crickets and those things, those teeny tiny itty bitty little monsters that looked like the face huggers from Aliens. That was the scariest thing that was in that basement. But no, this is going to be about the attic, and which is so funny because it was this really nice finished attic. Like it wasn't creepy at all, other than it's an attic. So yeah, that was going to be like my little like bro hangout. Everyone used to call me like Brovy. So this was my bro hangout. It had like my couch, it had my TV, it had my computer, it had a bed, it had my mini fridge full of not craft beer, and it was just
Nice.
rad. And that's kind of where I hung out. So one day I'm in my little bro lair, and I'm sitting at my computer, probably like it's the like mid 2000s, so I'm probably like updating my Facebook status and not going to class. And I'm sitting there, and I can kind of just like feel something. So I'm sitting at that computer and there's just something there. And that feeling when something is just right over your shoulder. And look, I have a Mexican mother, so I know what looming feels like. And that's what it was. But it wasn't ominous. It was never ominous. It never felt bad. It never felt like anything was wrong. So I was just like, dude, something totally here. So I would go sit on my couch, hang out, watch a movie, play video games, have my cheap beer. And I would feel something next to me. And it wasn't like I felt the warmth of a person, because ghost, I'm sure they're a little chilly, but I would feel that pressure in the couch, like
Oh
an
my God.
indention on the couch.
Oh my
And
God.
I would be like, there's someone 100% here. Well, eventually,
So this just kept happening.
this just kept happening. We're talking, this probably happened. Oh, geez. about a dozen times until I finally wanted to admit that there was something in the attic. And it wasn't anywhere else. It wasn't anywhere else. It never followed down to like the main floor of the house. It never went down to the basement to play with my really sick drum kit. It just hung out upstairs.
And your girlfriend never felt it.
She never went up there. So she's just like, not only was that like my space, she also once was just like, hey, honey, there's a ghost in the attic. And he's like, totally cool. She's like, yeah, I'm not going up there. So
amazing.
So yeah, it was only ever me up there. So yeah, we would just kind of, I don't know, I guess he just kind of wanted to hang out. I'm also convinced it was a he because it was really quiet and he never contributed anything. So I'm convinced it was just a dude. Same could be said the other way too. Like if he like chimed in, he's like, well, actually I'm a poltergeist, then it would probably also be a dude.
Right. The quiet thing threw me. Yeah.
Right. Just like some ghost, like ghost explaining what he is or something. But yeah, for almost 2 years.
Oh my God.
2 years that I would just kind of deal with this presence. And I never named him. I just kind of like hung out and I would talk at him. I would be like, well, what are we watching tonight? Always a scary movie. Let's look up whatever on the internet. And I even searched to see if there was anything about maybe something, because this house was like your typical area, like downtown area, built in the 40s. Just trying to see if there's any log of anything. Nothing ever really came up. Okay. I was a history major, so I knew kind of like the ins and outs of trying to find this kind of information. And the archives were right there. Nothing, but I knew there was something there.
Right.
So.
Wait, would he respond in any way? Like, I know he didn't talk to you, but like, he would be like, what are we watching tonight?
There was never really any kind of like feeling. It just this constant feeling of someone there. And I knew it had to be something there because I didn't feel that when I was in anywhere else in the house, not even when my girlfriend would be there. I felt the ghost more than my girlfriend. So eventually kind of like fast forward, we break up naturally. I begrudgingly graduate from college and I move out of the house. I say bye to my friend. And that was kind of that, except
sad.
Right. We parted ways. It was my butt. That's probably honestly the most like healthy friendship I've ever had.
Oh my God.
Fast forward again to 6 years later, and I work in I've graduated from college. So naturally I work in a really high end pet store. Cause that's what happens when you go into the humanities, everybody, don't do it. It's a scam. I work at this high end pet store and I have a coworker who is very cosmically and spiritually like in tune. And she's one of just very witchy and you'll never believe what ends up happening.
Oh my God. I'm so excited.
She moves into that house.
No, that's amazing.
So she moves into that house and we chat about the house. I never really get into it. I never tell her about my ghost best friend until one day she comes up and she's just like, V, did anything like weird or bad like happen in that house? And I was like, yeah, a really terrible relationship. And she's like, no, like in the attic. And I was like, yeah, it's haunted, dude. She's like, I knew it was haunted. Well, my BFF BTG, that's best friend forever beyond the grave, did not like her.
Oh, no.
So where I would get chill, calm, ghost best friend, she got kind of like snarky mess with her, ghost not best friend. And he would move things, shut cupboards. He would do all the like standard stuff. And she said, she's like, yeah, I don't get calm, cool feelings. She's like, I don't know if this is the same ghost, but I get really bad juju from this dude.
Oh my God.
And so for about 6 months, she dealt with really weird stuff happening in that house until eventually she did her witchiness and she did her whatever ritual she did. And she saged the heck out of every corner of the house. And eventually she says that she released him to wherever he was supposed to go. And nothing was ever heard of him again. So
how?
I feel like I lost my best friend twice. And like,
Okay, I feel like you should have gone back to your old house and been like, hey, why are you messing with my friend? I need to put you in line. Also good to feel you again.
Right. Well, because it was funny.
Yeah, it's true. Like your coworkers being tortured by the same ghost that was your friend while you're working in a pet store and you need something to do. Yeah.
Exactly. And talking to like people with really like high end, like poodle mixes, and I'm bored, I'm over it, I'm like, I have 2.5 degrees basically and I'm working in a pet store. So this was like, this would be the perk of my day, and there was something about it that just made me feel really good and validated that he liked me and not her. So really, this is, it was probably more about my ego.
Well, like one thing that's awesome about like a really good ghost story, I feel like there's corroboration, right? So like not only did you have corroboration, but yeah, you were preferred by a spirit, which
I won. I feel like I should really get something, like maybe another good haunting. Like maybe you should have tapped someone in I get some, right? Because I need another roommate. I need someone else to pay rent. That'd be cool. But yeah, so that's my little ghost story. That's my ghost best friend.
I absolutely love it. Holy cow. That is an amazing story. Do you still stay in touch with your pet store witch?
We're actually still friends on like Facebook and stuff like that. And every once in a while, it'll just be like, hey, remember when that ghost liked me more than you?
Do you know what they did to get rid of your buddy?
I don't. I just know that she did some stuff. Air quotes, some stuff.
Quote unquote, some stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if she got like a high industrial sage vacuum or something and just like, you know, ghostbustered it or something.
It's hilarious.
But yeah. Amazing. So that's that.
I love this story. Is there anything else that you want to talk about before we talk about your Twitch and everything else?
I did. This is like haunted house adjacent.
I love it. Let's do it.
Haunted house adjacent. So I played like most athletically inclined queer kids. I played softball, I was.
Same. I feel like we're the same person. I just married a man. That's the only difference.
Are we best friends? We're best friends. You're not a ghost, right?
I don't know.
But yeah, so I played softball and I played travel ball. So I played pretty high-ish competitive sports. And it got to the point where I would move around and play with other teams. So they would say, hey, come to pick a state. And I would go there and I'd play with them for however long. Yeah.
What'd you play?
I'm catcher.
Nice. I was a pitcher.
Yep. There we go.
We're good. Yeah.
Yep. Awesome. There we go. All right. So we meshed together. So yeah. So this one of the last times that I did this big move, I was about 17 years old. I had a team say, hey, come move up to South Carolina. We'll have a place for you to live. We'll take care of your food. All you gotta do is play softball. And I'm like, heck yeah, I'm 17 years old. I'm gonna live in a house by myself, no parents. This is gonna be a party, right?
That's a dream.
It's not a party. It was so not a party. It was absolutely not a party. So my parents and I go up to South Carolina and we meet up with the coach, and his name was Uncle Bob. That's his name. His name is Uncle Bob. So Uncle Bob and I, you know, we hang out, we chat. And then finally he turns to my parents. He's like, all right, well, let's go ahead and get Vanessa to her new setup. And I'm like, heck yeah, I can't wait to see this place. This is going to be awesome. So this is in Mullen, South Carolina. And I don't know if you've ever heard of Mullen, South Carolina. No, you haven't, because no one's heard of Mullen, South Carolina. It's about an hour inland from Myrtle Beach.
Okay.
So that's kind of, you can kind of guess where that is.
Yeah.
But there is nothing there. In fact, I don't even remember if there were road signs. How I got to this house and how we all got to this house is basically you pass the buy low, you hit the Hardee's, you take a left, and then you keep going, you follow the train tracks, and it's going to be the fourth dirt road on your right. And that is the only house that's on that dirt road.
Jesus, that's terrifying. So
it is all, it's already terrifying.
Yeah.
So my parents and I, we are following Uncle Bob to this house, and we finally make all these turns, and you know, there's nothing out there. It's corn, tobacco, corn, and horses. There were horses next to this house. I don't know who took care of them, but they were there and I would feed them carrots. So I guess I took care of them. but we pull up to this house. And at first I'm like, this is picturesque. It is beautiful. It is Southern plantation house with giant oak trees, with Spanish moss swinging in the breeze. It's beautiful. Oh, until my mother says, wow, this looks like the house from House of a Thousand Corpses. And she ruined it.
No.
And she ruined it. And she's because she's a ruiner. And that's what she does. And it's like, well, you have now ruined my summer. So this house was absolutely 1000% haunted, because this was about a 25 room plantation house. And I had the top floor, but no one else lived there. So I thought, Uncle Bob put it that, oh, well, you're the only one living upstairs. There was no one else in that house, except for the weird vibes that you got through the entire downstairs floor.
Oh my gosh.
So it felt like at any point someone would be popping out of whatever crevice. So the first night I'm there, I'm thinking, my parents are going to come hang out and stay with me. No, mm-hmm. My parents say, we're going to go stay with Uncle Bob. You're going to stay in the house by yourself. Have a great time. Good luck.
No, you have 25 rooms for them to stay in.
Exactly. There's 10 of them are upstairs.
Like, oh my God.
Why aren't you staying with me? So I am 17 years old. I'm living in a plantation house by myself. It is the first night. I'm 100% alone. Every single light is on in this house, because I do not want a dark corner. Mm-hmm. I don't want a shadow. I don't want anything. I don't want my own shadow. And so, all right, I get ready to go to bed. It's about 7 p.m. because I just want to sleep through this. I don't want to do this. And so I, in my teeny tiny little baby bed in this giant room, every room has a fireplace, by the way, very, very strange. Second floor fireplace, never understood it. So I'm sleeping in the corner, 7:30 p.m. Okay, that's fine. So I'm sleeping, and all of a sudden, with all the lights on, and I'm staring at this little stairwell, mm-hmm. waiting for a head to pop up at any moment. So I'm sleeping with like one eye open. Mm-hmm. So as I'm sleeping there, or not sleeping there, excuse me, all of a sudden, in just absolute dead quiet, bam, my bed breaks and I roll out. I mean, we're talking half of the bed just falls to the floor.
Oh my God.
And I go rolling across the room.
Oh my God.
So I'm thinking,
screaming?
I'm screaming. I am crying. I am trying to call my parents. No one's answering. Come on. It's 7:30. I know I'm in bed, but there's no way that my parents are asleep. They just ignored my phone call. I'm not bitter. I'm just upset a little bit, just a little teeny tiny upset. But so I managed to, through my tears and while still trying to keep an eye on that stairwell, fix the bed, and I put the legs back on the bed. Everything's fine. Well, about 30 minutes later, bang, the bed breaks again, but it's the other side.
Oh no.
And so now I roll into the wall, and now I have a barricade, and I'm okay with this because I am sleeping with a crooked bed and against a wall, and I am right in the corner, and I'm thinking nothing can get me here. This is how I'm sleeping. All the ghosts are just going to have the ghosts cannot get through my bed barricade. I am convinced, just like a ghost cannot cut through cotton. That's why you pull your sheets up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. So, I was terrified of that house. I never came home when it was dark because of all the weird wiring. You had to go through like three rooms to get to a light switch.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going through that house in the dark. Absolutely not. I would kind of like venture through from time to time during the day and would find like hidden stairwells. I would find secret little passageways, and I'm just going, and I would hear weird things at night. But that was one of those things, unlike later on, my ghost best friend, that house gave me bad vibes.
Yeah.
No one came over. I just kind of stayed there during the day, and I just would hunker down at night and just hope that nothing would come up that stairwell and get me.
Did you leave your bed like that, like slanted against the wall and just sleep
for
like
two
that?
Nights I did.
Oh And then the area between the bed and the wall, I call the scaria. So you just like willingly slept in the scaria. Cause like, I have a big fear of like falling in that area, but usually a bed is like normal.
It felt like my war trench against the ghosts.
Oh my God. Like, how did you survive a summer there?
Drinking. I mean, don't drink underage, everybody. But it was just like, my mom understood. She's like, oh yeah, this is terrifying. I'm like, well, this is your fault. You said House of 1,000 Corpses when we pulled up. I was thinking that this was going to be a picturesque, Southern mansion, you know, on the cover of a sleazy romance novel. And she said horror house. Right. So yeah, that house, that was a weird time. That was lots of weird bumps in the night. Every once in a while, like a softball would fall off the mantle from one of the fireplaces and would just roll to the center of the room. Now, granted, bad flooring, floors were warped. Still scary when it's like midnight.
Still absolutely scary. And you just don't know what to make of it. You're like, is this just an uneven, mantle, or is this ghost a little bit? Is there a ghost who's kind of lazy, honestly?
Yeah, just like, just kind of like batting it, just going, well, that's what she's scared yet. Just do little things like this. We're just going to kind of move this here. We're going to knock on this. But yeah, I've always loved paranormal stuff like that anyway. Just not in that instance. That was probably the one time where I was like, I'm just not digging this, dude. I'm not having a good time.
Since you've had these experiences, do you ever seek out either like ghosts or do you go to like psychics or something?
I do have several friends who do like tarot and stuff like that. Occasionally I do. It's something that I don't really dabble a whole lot in anymore. During college, like I said, because I think there was so much paranormal lore in that area, I ate it up. Just yum, 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 yum. I'm just eating up as much of that as I could. I was a big nerd when it came to the haunted stuff around that area. So yeah, I was a fan of that, but now not so much. I don't know if that's just because I haven't lost interest, and I'm definitely not scared of it. I think I'm just tired.
You're like, I have enough creatures to deal with. I don't need anyone else. Yeah, that makes sense.
Can you imagine, like, if I got possessed, I'm just like, oh my God.
I'd be like, just take it. Just go. Yeah.
Right. Here's my work schedule. It's your problem now.
Totally get it. That is so funny.
Those are a couple of my stories. Yeah.
That is amazing. Vanessa, where can people find you on the internet and on Twitch? And when are your shows? And yeah.
Well, I am on Twitch. I'm V Needs Attention on Twitch and TikTok. Yeah, right. I know. I mean, come on.
You're boiling it down to the essence of every stand-up comic. So,
I mean,
yeah.
Seriously, I'm going to be straightforward. I'm doing this for attention.
Yeah.
If more people were straightforward about it, I just think we would all be a lot happier. But yeah, please attention on Twitch and TikTok. I'm also on Instagram. V Needs Attention is my gamer handle on Instagram. V Needs Tacos is my comedy one.
Great. Amazing. And how often do you do the Twitch shows?
We Twitch every Wednesday, usually mid-afternoon. It's been a little all over the place, but every Wednesday and some Sundays. So yeah, come check me out. Come follow me on Twitch.
Cool.
It's a good time.
Well, Vanessa Bryant, thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun. This was great.
Thank you for listening to Comedians with Ghost Stories, and have a wonderful week.